The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Bye, good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday on Man in Line. 21 new cases of COVID were diagnosed yesterday. That we now have 222 active cases on the island. Five people are currently in Nobles, no one in ICU. 287 people waiting for the result of a test currently, and 123 people booked in for a test today. From the vaccination dashboard, 65,429 first doses have been administered, 63,398 second doses administered, 533 people are booked in for a jab over the next 7 days, and the Department of Health and Social Care is holding 21,110 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. That's the situation we are, and today is the final day that Manx residents who haven't been vaccinated will have to undergo testing and self-isolation when crossing the Isle of Man's borders. So, a big day today. New border rules coming into place tomorrow, the 16th, mean that those who haven't had a COVID-19 vaccine will no longer be treated differently to those who have. Any thoughts on the matter as well? Lots of changes. And I just wonder, this is part of that whole mitigation strategy of living with COVID, the question of boosters, the question of the flu vaccine, whether you can be jabbed with the booster and the flu vaccine on the same day. All this will come out. We're asking questions all the time on your behalf. So, big day today. The final day, Manx residents who haven't had the jab will have to undergo testing and self-isolation when crossing the Isle of Man's borders. Tessa has more details.
The Chief Minister has attributed the changes to the broadly stable situation both here and, in Howard Quayle's words, across the water.
It has been and remains our intention to restore restriction-free travel between the Isle of Man and our neighbours. But we have always been clear that the time and the circumstances here on the island as well as in the jurisdictions around us must be right.
So what are those circumstances that have brought about change? Well, according to the government, it's a plateau in COVID-19 cases on the island, a high proportion of the population now being vaccinated, relative stability in hospital admissions, and a broad equilibrium in case numbers between the island, the UK and Ireland. So what has actually changed? Well, in simple terms, unvaccinated Manx residents no longer have to apply for a Manx travel permit. That's the approval which travellers needed to seek before a journey. Testing requirements and self-isolation for those who do return have also been scrapped. That's as long as those returning have only travelled within the common travel area, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland and the Channel Islands. To put it in simple terms, all vaccinated and now unvaccinated residents need to do when arriving on Manx soil is to fill in a landing form, which includes a health declaration. Announcing the change, Howard Quayle said government acknowledged that the restrictions which were in place had made travelling complicated and difficult for some people.
These steps take us in the right direction, and whilst they move us forward, we feel they are proportionate, enabling us to continue our process of gradually easing border restrictions. Of course, we want this to be a one-way journey, but I must caveat these changes by making clear the situation remains under constant review. We will monitor what impact these changes have on our community in terms of case numbers and hospital admissions. In time, we hope that we can look at how measures can be eased for non-residents travelling to the Isle of Man as part of our journey to remove our remaining border restrictions. But we must take care with the number of unvaccinated visitors coming to the island, particularly around that all-important hospital capacity. And so that is why this change is limited to residents only in the first instance.
I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding this restriction-free travel and another step along the way. A message in from James and just said, I'd like to know what the future candidates think about the bus services from the south of the Isle of Man to the west coast. We're being informed that we need to cut down on our car usage, but how can we when you can't get a bus direct from Port Erin via Castletown to Peel and Ramsey? I just want to know what all future MHKs think, it will be interested to know. Well, when we talk to the prospective MHKs for Russian next week, that's certainly a question I'll put to them. But the whole question of public transport on the Isle of Man, making it easy, cheap, and available is hotly contested question. It's a moot point often as to how you fund that, how much you justify it, and do you have to put the buses on before people use them, or do you wait for enough people to moan until you put a bus on? Making a profit from public transport, well, it hasn't been done yet. So we'll see what happens there. By the way, have you signed up for online services? So apparently, lots of people are signing up for online services for the government for a range of reasons, searching for jobs, paying rates, utility bills, and applying for licences. The big day is the tax services. The countdown continues. The deadline is the 6th of October this year. If you haven't made this switch, government wants you to sign up for a convenient, secure and environmentally friendly service. They always put that in there, environmentally friendly service. You go to services.gov.im to get registered and just see what you can do. Should you need to contact the Income Tax and National Insurance Division, of course, you can still go to public counters, open Monday to Friday from 9 till 2, or you can call 685 400. Lines are open 9 to 5:30 and Friday 9 till 5. That's 685 400, but I just wouldn't want you to miss that 6th of October deadline for your tax, because you know how those penalties rise and rise. Four Roads is diabolical. The school runs and the parking, even a lollipop lady crossing children with parents in between parked cars. Why don't children walk to school now? It's not that far. I used to walk over a mile to school in all weathers. It gave us common sense that people seem to lack. If you want to save the planet, surely school runs needed to be looked at. My children all walked or caught the school bus. Lots of roadworks going on at the moment, and parking and is becoming a bit of a nightmare in certain places. We're not that too far away when the promenade reopens and all that entails, but as it is at the moment, there's lots, particularly around Douglas, lots of roadworks going on, including at the Spring Valley roundabout today, where they're replacing that roundabout that got damage when somebody crashed into it. Parking was always a problem at Victoria Road School in Castletown. The only solution was to get there early, but then leaving was a problem too, not to mention getting blocked in. Many, many cars speed past on their way to work. And what's wrong with walking to school? Extending the no waiting area to Briand Friary Park and the Colby Glen Road. Safe routes to school is part of active travel, but to date, lots more money and thought has been spent on leisure routes for cyclists. If we are, and again, this is a subject that comes up in the candidates' debate, the green agenda and active travel, is it time to start looking at the number of cars that take children to school? Different kettle of fish, isn't it, when it's foggy and wet in the middle of winter? But is that something that you think should be looked at? The whole green agenda's got some very difficult decisions in it, but government could mandate it. You know, got a car share, have to have more than two people in a vehicle that drops someone off at school in the future. Is that something that you think, if you drop a child off at school, do you think, I mean, how many cars do you count at any one time? Is there always the battle over the car park? Oh, back to those changes that come into force tomorrow. We've asked the government for a response to tomorrow, obviously. New border rules come into place, meaning those who haven't had a COVID-19 vaccine won't be treated any differently to those who have Manx residents, that is, of course. We've contacted the government for response, and the changes have been welcomed by campaigners. Tessa's got some more detail on that.
Someone who has vocally opposed the different travel treatment for the vaccinated and unvaccinated is campaigner Victoria Hodgson. She presented a petition on Tynwald Day slamming the previous border policy as illogical and ineffective. She told me she's pleased with the changes but isn't convinced they go far enough.
The policy, which was introduced in June this year, created a two-tier society and caused considerable feelings of upset, anger and resentment. It's made people feel second class and inferior, the classic features of discrimination, and the reason that anti-discrimination laws exist.
You obviously brought a petition forward on Tynwald Day, and the issue has continued to be highlighted. Do you think governments listened to your concerns?
Well, there was the petition on Tynwald Day, the protest outside the Tynwald building in July, and there have been numerous people lobbying their MHKs on this issue. All of these contributions have helped raise awareness of this issue.
And what would you say to people who may be fearful of the change that's coming into force? So the fact that unvaccinated Manx residents can now come back to the Isle of Man without any testing or self-isolation, as long as they've travelled in the common travel area. Do you think, because of the restrictions that have already been in place, there might have been this culture of fear, perhaps, against people
who
haven't had
a vaccine? Well, as I've said before, there was no logic in that policy because vaccinated people can still catch and transmit the virus. The policy was ineffective because there have been hundreds, if not thousands, of COVID cases on the island since the policy was introduced in June. There were lots of people who were hesitant about having the jab, but took it in order to travel. Given that the policy was so illogical, it seems the only reason for the policy was to coerce and bully the unvaccinated into having the jab.
Do you think the issue of vaccinations, vaccination passports, stops here? Or do you think there could be ramifications into the future now?
Yeah, I think despite the good news on the change of policy this week, we need to be vigilant to any future discrimination against the unvaccinated. For example, any compulsory vaccination of NHS workers or any discrimination against unvaccinated school children and any sort of COVID passes for entry to events or premises. Any business which unreasonably makes COVID vaccination a condition of entry or employment can expect to be vigorously challenged and publicly questioned.
And despite the removal of these travel restrictions, the government is still urging people to continue testing themselves after travelling with lateral flow tests, which can be obtained from island pharmacies.
A note in from, I think this is Graham, who said, I was listening to the show yesterday when people were talking about Kroger Gas and the wind farms as well. But I'll bang on about this forevermore. The tide is absolutely guaranteed. Twice a day, Scotland's universities have been testing and enhancing systems for many years. Why not use these systems to generate a new industry on the Isle of Man, building tidal and wave power systems, which many of these are below the surface. I'd like to see these installed on the west coast to help protect the coastline from erosion that quite honestly hasn't been combated apart from rocks. With the building of a new property down Station Road in Kirkmichael, for example, will be an important thing to hit head on and truly attempt to halt erosion around Kirkmichael. Graham dropped me that note as well. Well, you're absolutely right, Graham. The tide is guaranteed. Twice a day, Mother Nature or the Lord above, whoever you want, washes the beaches. And the tide is guaranteed. However, where would you put it? What size would it be? And eventually you come to NIMBYism, people who don't want a tidal power station near them. Nothing is guaranteed, but if you think it's time to grasp the nettle with tidal power. Lots of places around the world have undersea turbines. Lots of them have hydraulic systems that ratchet up and down, and the tide is guaranteed. A note in from, this is 514, just can anybody confirm if a day 6 test is going to be needed this Friday if the rules are changing on Thursday? Well, you heard all the details. But this correspondent, Anonymous 514, said, I phoned 111 and they're uncertain if one is needed or not. Well, if they don't know, shortly nobody knows. Apparently Spring Valley is clear now. Have they finished doing that roundabout as well? Regarding the vaccine testing changes, finally some level-headed perspective, says Tony. Common sense concerning COVID testing. No discrimination over here, please. I'm not a social exile because I wouldn't use what does Tony call it? The brackets, state injectable. New term. Tony, thanks. I don't think COVID-19 is the new plague. I don't think it's the Black Death. So we need to get back to living, says Tony, that is. Tony is on 476. Thank you, Tony, as well. A message in just says, my son was at Russian primary school. We lived 3.5 miles away. No bus service, so he'd have to cross the Balafesson Road. And people drive so fast on that road, not really having it. Well, this whole green agenda thing has been reiterated as we come up to an election. And remember, when the die is cast a week tomorrow, 8 o'clock, a week tomorrow night, it will all be done and dusted. The chips will have fallen and we'll know where we are. Then, obviously, a new chief minister will emerge. Like tonight, Matthew, I will be. And then the new chief minister will choose their ministerial team. And we'll see where we go. But everybody's had their say on the green agenda. Whether it's public transport, whether it's bicycles, active travel, what's happening where. Now is the time to have your say. If you want to throw your 10 penneth in on Man in Line, then give us a call. Parents apparently need to take a common sense approach when dropping their children off at school. Do you think it's a common sense approach at the moment? A teaching union has talked about a common sense approach after an island school took to social media after an incident outside the school gates earlier this week. Laxey School says it's keeping a log of incidents, but it doesn't have any jurisdiction to enforce change. Now, Rob Kelso is the National Secretary of the Head Teachers Union, the NAHT, is on the island to meet with the election candidates. Such incidents, he reckons, are inevitable.
What we're saying is, you know, a common sense approach, you know, has to be taken. And sort of, you know, working with your community, working with your parents is always one of the key challenges and tasks of a school leader. You know, school leaders have got a great, you know, relationship only or mainly with their community. And it's really just, you know, asking parents and others just to step back and give some consideration, you know, to the well-being of others, particularly children, young people, because it heightens risk, you know, whether it's pollution, whether it's the risk of children or others being you know, sort of knocked down with incidents on school gates. And it's really, again, just imploring, you know, wider community to work with schools and give that consideration. A big stick approach never normally ends well for either side on this one. It's really just that sort of, again, that community liaison bit that really is important.
24 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Here's Stephen with us. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy, and hello, listeners. I'd like to make comment about the poor advertising for the election meeting that was held last night for the constituency of Douglas Central.
That was the one at St Ninian's, wasn't it?
Had a caller earlier in the week about this. Hello?
Go on.
And what I'd like to... My concern is that this change that we seem to have had this year, which has been organised by a Department of Government, it hasn't managed to get it right. It was in the wrong location, in my view, to start with, because there was a cut-off time for the meeting because the school had to close by 9 o'clock. Other election meetings I've attended have continued until the questions ran out. It was too far controlled. It was too regulated. Typical government thing. And it was far better when it used to be in St. George's Parish Hall in Alexander Drive, certainly for this constituency. So I do hope that next time it will revert back to how it used to be, less government interference, and let's get back so people can stay chatting and talking until the end. But that's not the end of my concern, Andy and listeners. What I'd like to also comment upon is the state of the school in St. Ninian's School. It is an absolute disgrace. There's crumbling walls in there. There was evidence of water penetration on that roof. There is, you just have to visually look at some of the guttering, which are overflowing with vegetation. There is no maintenance, as far as I can see, on the public buildings. And this is a big issue that we need to rectify. From what I can gather is the public, we don't mind spending millions on public buildings to build them, but there's nothing done afterwards by the way of maintenance. So now, whether this is because the maintenance squads for the various departments have been rolled into the DOI, that word again, DOI, it could be that, but it's certainly something that needs to be rectified. We don't feel like we've had 20 years of economic prosperity when you look round at the state of lack of maintenance generally round the island. So there you have it.
Okay, let's just go back to that pre-election meeting they're calling. It was at St Ninian's, and it finished, it was 7 till 9, wasn't it? How many questions did they get in?
Well, not enough, in my view, because there was not simply enough people who attended it. And I do believe that's not down to a disinterest. I believe it was down to the choice of location and also the poor advertising of the election meetings. I listen to Manx Radio, as you know. I read the local papers. I didn't see any big advertising spreads for when these election meetings were on, and I didn't hear much on Manx Radio for that election meeting that night. I have looked at the information sheets and the advertising Manx Radio for your own meetings, and there were well advertised, but certainly this one, because the meetings that Manx Radio had were selected, I believe, for ask. But certainly the rest of them, they should have been, it should have been advertised properly.
Okay. All right, Stephen, thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
29 minutes past 12. Just as a quick word, we are live tonight. Manx Radio is out and about tonight. Douglas Rugby Club. We're going to be live on the air between 7 and 8 with the candidates of Middle. But there are pre-election meetings for Arbury Castle Town and Maloo tonight, 7 till 9. We'll finish at 9, Ballasalla Primary School. And there's a Glen Faber and Peel pre-election meeting from 7 until 9 at QE2 High School. That's what's going on. There are pre-election meetings as well. Later on this week, there's one on Friday, and I think there's one next week as well. There's one for Aaron Michael and Douglas Central. If you go to manxradio.com, take a look there. We're trying to keep everybody as informed as possible, but as always, the onus is also sometimes on the voter to make themselves aware. But anyway, for tonight, Manx Radio live from Douglas Rugby Club, an invited audience for the candidates of Middle at Ballasalla Primary School, Arbury Castle Town and Maloo, 7 till 9, and the QE2 High School from 7 till 9 for the candidates for Glen Faber and Peel. And just a quick word, tomorrow, routine GP appointments aren't available tomorrow, Thursday afternoon, between 1 and 6. GPs are attending their latest education session. So what do you think about walking to school? Well, it will be one way of stopping any incidents, but do you know, would you walk your child to school, or would you like them to walk to school? And at what age would you say, yes, walk to school?
I didn't know where to turn to protect me and my children from my violent husband.
My partner verbally abused me, controlled how much money I could spend and who I could talk to.
But my advocate was compassionate and helped me with the police to stop the abuse.
My advocate helped me to get a court order to protect me and stay in my home.
If you need assistance, call Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited on 677 888 or email reception@advocates.co.im.
Athol Garage in Ballasalla is more than a Nissan authorised repair centre. Their team of highly factory-trained and experienced technicians will service and repair any make and model, with dedicated aftercare too. With Athol, you get a competitive fixed-price menu and a courtesy car if needed. Pity this driver didn't know that.
Oh, great! I told you to go to Athol!
Athol, a garage to swear by, not swear at. Book now at athol.im or call the A-team, 820082.
It's natural, isn't it? Start with the best quality. Treat it with time, care and attention, and you'll create something that tastes special. Deliciously different from the everyday. That's the Taste the Difference range by Sainsbury's. The finest food and drink, grown and produced to bring out natural goodness and flavour in almost every aisle, with exciting new arrivals all the time. Sainsbury's, Taste the Difference, only at ShopRite. Naturally.
How much income will you need in retirement? £10,000 per year? £25,000? £50,000? At Moore Stephens Financial Services, we'll create a personalised lifetime retirement matrix to project whether your plans are in line with reality or just a pipe dream. If they are just pipe dreams, we can show you how to get them back on track. Moore Stephens Financial Services. Here today, planning for tomorrow. Moore Stephens Financial Services Limited is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Coming up, it's another winning weekend here on Manx Radio, and this time we've teamed up with the Man in Hotel to give you the chance to win dinner, bed and breakfast for two people. The Man in Hotel delivers traditional Manx hospitality in modern surroundings, and if you want to win, all you need to do is listen out for our winning weekend wordplay all day Saturday and Sunday. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a big winner here on the Nation Station with our friends at the Man in Hotel, Broadway in Douglas.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Later on today, our candidate is Sarah Hackman, one of the four candidates contesting the constituency of Douglas Central. You'll hear from Sarah by the end of today. She's up against Damien Cipolli, Ann Corlett and Chris Thomas. That's Sarah Hackman later on today. And tonight, for the constituency of Middle, standing in Middle, David Fowler, Kieran Hannafin, Alison Lynch, Stu Peters and Jane Poole Wilson. And Wolf's with us. Hi, Wolf.
Hi, Andy. What is this wind power? I've been on about this before. Practical sort of a fella, and I like to get things done cheap. See, now, I'm in favour of wind power out in the sea. I don't mind looking at windmills. I'm not bothered with that. 3 years ago, they wanted to put them some windmills within our 12-mile limit. And I say, right, firstly, you get hold of these people who do this, and you get them to work out how many windmills we need to run the Isle of Man.
Uh-huh.
And when they've worked, they say, right, install them inside the 12-mile limit, wherever you want to put them. But install them first, connect them all up, and then you can fill this full of windmills. We will have free electric.
Who do you think should pay? I mean, will we pay for them to be put? Because they're expensive.
They pay because they wanted to hire our seabed.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. So basically, they build us a wind farm to run the Isle of Man free, and they can do what they want with the rest of it.
That's it. You got it. It was many as doesn't bother me.
Are you sure about that, Wolf?
I'm very sure about it. Cheap.
Even off picturesque Ramsey.
Well, we can see them off Ramsey now anyway. So, too much. Not there. We don't want them too close. But there's plenty of room in the 12-mile limit. There's hundreds of them out there. Let's say they can put them 9 miles, 8 miles out. That's far enough from the other man. Plenty of room out there.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for being with us.
All right.
24 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Everybody's talking about the ones we can see. Is it the Walney wind farm? There's lots of wind turbines that we can see. Closer? Well, how would you feel about that? Surely the best position for any water generation system, says Texter 197, will be to be between the island and the Calf. Maybe the Calf to Chicken Rock and across Castletown Bay. Maybe we could get on with that. Perhaps we should just have a scanner card that they can scan with without having to fill in landing forms every time we go away, says Michael. Just got my NHS COVID pass. Happy days. Enjoy your trips to Europe, everyone, says 613. My view on vaccination is simple, says PJ. It's no different from motor breakdown insurance. If you've got no insurance, expect a bill when your car needs towing off the motorway. The government have done all they can to mitigate problems with the NHS workload by creating the insurance policy, the vaccine. If you don't want the vaccine, that's your choice. But if you end up in a hospital due to COVID-19, expect to pay the bill. PJ, that is his answer to all that. I was driving past RGS this morning, says 691. It's awful going past RGS in the morning. Parents and children walking along the pavements, four or five abreast, literally falling into the road, overtaking people in front of them by walking into the road without any consideration of the cars. It's an accident waiting to happen. It's not the driver's fault. Well, I don't know about that. If you hit somebody, it's technically your fault. But I understand the point. But we're coming into active travel. We're coming into pedestrian power, really. I thought we were supposed to be talking about active travel. But I don't hear anything from... This is Michael. I don't hear anything new from the candidates talking about active travel. I hear the same old stuff parroted by the candidates, but nobody comes up with anything that's blatant common sense. So, says Michael, is there any common sense in the active travel? I've had many pieces of correspondence on active travel during the campaign. I'll be honest with you, I've been listening very closely to people talking about active travel, and I don't know, well, you may be the judge. Do they pass the foggy and windy morning in February test, i.e. would you do this on a foggy and windy morning in February? I drive up that road in Laxey every day to do delivery. The amount of 4x4s dropping off little darlings is unreal. I nearly got hit the other day by a car as I stepped out of my van. They need to stop parking on that road completely, says Tony. Everybody's got big cars nowadays, haven't they? How come the inflation rate for the Isle of Man, according to the government, last month was 2.1, yet the UK's was 3.2? Was that right? Well, the government said it was 2.1%. Healthcare workers refusing to take the vaccinations mustn't be allowed to work alongside anyone who is immune compromised or the clinically vulnerable, says that texter as well. And a message in from, oh, we'll go to Howard first of all. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just something that the public on the Island Man are probably not aware of, but on a recent news item on Manx Radio, a poor unfortunate soul was in a minor accident up north, and in February, in the snow, I don't know the full context of it, and it's in that sense is not relevant, but he was driving his father's van, which was registered commercial, insured, and he thought he was legally entitled to it. I'm assuming he had his own insurance. Well, I've got two vehicles. One is a van and one is a car. They're both insured separately. And I've just come from my insurance company now, and from all accounts, my van is a private van, but it goes under the auspices, as far as the insurance is concerned, as being a commercial vehicle. It's not used commercially. It never has been. I use it for my own particular use, and I have to have a van for this particular thing. But I've just checked, and they said, no, it is not covered. I cannot get out of that van and get into another one on the assumption that I am insured to drive. I am not. That van and its insurance, apparently from all accounts, is ring-fenced, and that's as much as I could drive.
And did you know this? Did you know this before it was pointed out to you?
Nope. I've just been down purposely to inquire on this because I read that item on your news website, and this is it happened only not recently down in the north of the island, and this chap was fined a serious amount of money. It was a minor accident in the snow, by all accounts, yeah. But the police have taken to prosecuting them, and successfully prosecuting is the word, and that poor fella ended up with a large amount of money going in the form of a fine because the police said that he was not insured to drive his father's van.
Okay,
so
just
commercial.
Just in a nutshell again, Howard, just reiterate what you've said about this. Just take it from the top again.
Basically, it was a chap that was driving his father's van, and I can only assume it was the smallest one, because over 3.5 ton, you need another license. But he was in a minor accident in the snow in February, and of course, the police were called at the time, whatever it was, and they have taken to prosecuting him successfully for not having insurance to drive his father's van.
Okay, and what did your insurance company say?
They said, I wouldn't be insured to drive any other vehicle on my van insurance. My car, which I have, and I'm sitting in now, is insured. My van is insured, both separately, but the van insurance will not allow me to drive what they term as another van, a commercial vehicle. I would have to, I couldn't drive it full stop without breaking the law.
Okay.
And that wasn't told to me when I went to it. I'm not perturbed about the insurance, but it's time people found out about this and their insurance companies explained it to them.
Right. So you've got two vehicles. One is a van, but mm-hmm. you use it for private purposes.
That's correct. A lot of people know I build model boats, and that's what I use to carry them. It's not used for any commercial use whatsoever. And my first insurance company wouldn't insure it unless it was commercial. I said, well, it's not. And I went to my second insurance company, and they didn't inform me that that was ring-fenced, and I wouldn't be able to drive another vehicle.
Okay.
So they said, have a look at your certificate, and this, that, and the other. And there are certain sections of that, which, you know, you have to be a lawyer to sort it out. So just, there's a lot of vehicles coming around, and a lot of vehicles are used privately, although they're vans.
Okay, all right, thanks for pointing that out, Howard.
Yeah, well, it could be, end up, as he said, if you're driving somebody's van, and you're in a serious accident, somebody's hurt, they will get no compensation.
All right, thanks for being with us, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
16 minutes to one. Eddie's with us. Hello, Eddie.
Yes, good day, Andy. I just keep hearing all of these candidates going on about green energy and all the rest of it. And I just wonder, have they really looked into this seriously for the Isle of Man? Because I don't think so. Wind farms, solar panels, it's just pie in the sky. Because they're forgetting one thing, that's the base load of the Isle of Man. In other words, what the Isle of Man uses on a regular basis. And that's quite considerable. It's about, I think it's in the region of 80 gigabytes, something like that. Gigawatts, sorry.
Uh-huh.
So if you wanted to put a wind farm up to provide that, what are you looking at? You're looking at something like 40 or 50 wind turbines. And, okay, you can put them up. Well, what about the infrastructure? How are you going to get that power from the wind turbines to the Isle of Man, for a start, if they're going to put them in the sea? But if you're going to put them on land, even, how are you going to do that? Because we don't have the infrastructure to do it. And solar panels, well, give me a break. The amount of solar panels you would need to supply the Isle of Man, okay, draw a line from the Slough to Santon. Everything south of that, every inch of it, would have to be covered with a solar panel.
I mean, how do you feel about domestic solar panels? Do you think they're worth it?
No. Only if that solar panel is used to preheat hot water.
Not photovoltaic ones, the ones with water going through them.
Well, either that or you can use the voltaic ones to heat the water just the same. But, no, I was in Kent recently, and I drove past Dungeness, which is one of the very first nuclear power stations that were put into Britain. They're actually decommissioning it at the moment. And to make up for the decommissioning, they've put about 20 windmills along the side of the Dungeness power station on a nice flat ground there, which is right next to the channel. The day I went past, it was flat calm, and not one of those windmills was turning.
Well,
not one.
That's interesting. I mean, it's interesting the fact that you're talking about numbers, and we've heard very few actual numbers, and that will be an interesting one to know. What's the base load times of day? And you can do this because, I mean, there's an interesting Twitter site where you can go on and look what the UK's generation is.
Yes.
It'd be nice to know if there was one for the Isle of Man, and we knew exactly, and they do know because I've been on a tour around Paul Rose Power Station. It's very interesting, and they know when the peaks and troughs are for Manx demand and how much we'll actually need.
Yeah, well, I bet the candidates that are currently going around spouting all this stuff, and there's an awful lot of them, they've not even contacted the power station or got any of information like that. Otherwise, they would know what the situation is. But I'll tell you what, Andy, there is an easy way we can get green energy. Real easy. All right, we shut down the gas power station at Pull Rose, and we've got this nice big cable that goes across to the north of England there, and we could import all our energy from the UK. And guess what? What's the first power station you come to on that cable?
Heysham.
It's a nuclear power station.
Yes.
So, oh, I tell you what, some of these candidates, boy, I bet they keep going on about climate change and all the rest of it, but I bet how many of them have actually read an IPCC report? I bet none of them, because the IPCC reports are about 700 pages long. And what they do is they put a summary out, and often this summary is missing an awful lot of facts and is sometimes deliberately in contradiction to what is actually said in the actual paper itself.
Mm. I always thought it was ironic when you drove to, years before, they'd taken the building now down at Heysham, but when you drove to Heysham Port to get on the boat, and on the left you look at that enormous nuclear power station, there was a building that had one word on it, Eddie, terminal. Thanks.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you see, people don't understand the difference between nuclear fusion and nuclear fission. One you make electricity with, and the other one you make nuclear weapons with.
All right. Okay. All right. We've got to go, Eddie. We're almost out of time.
Can I just give you a quick quote for the election?
By all means.
And it's by reputedly from Mahatma Gandhi. And he said, if there is an idiot in power, then the electors who put him there can say they are well represented.
Your new Crosby Co-op is now open, and shopping with us is even easier with groceries delivered straight from the store to your door when you buy online at co-op.co.uk. With thousands of products to choose from, plus all of our latest deals and offers available online at co-op.co.uk, you can let us do the heavy lifting so you don't have to. Order today at co-op.co.uk. Selected stores only. £15 minimum spend applies. Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at co-op.co.uk.
Have you seen this? We could get a new car from Motormall now and pay nothing till 2022.
That's nice, dear.
There's hundreds of new and used cars to choose from, with great part exchange deals.
That's nice, dear.
No repayments till 2022. We'd save a fortune for Christmas.
That's nice, dear.
Oh, by the way, I'm eloping with the milkman.
That's nice, eh?
Oh, so you are listening. Buy now. Repay nothing till 2022 with Motormall. The nice people to deal with. Call in at Cool Road, Braddon now.
Typhoon House. Happily working to keep you working, whether from home or the office. We can keep your printer or copier fleet running in tip-top condition, whether there's a problem or simply making sure you don't run out of toner. Typhoon House also supply and install new devices, which are more efficient and cost-effective for you and your business. Call 661-331 or email typhoon@typhoonhouse.im. Typhoon House.
Show the garden who's boss with Riley's Garden Centre. Tractors, tools, the latest cordless equipment from the island's dealers for Honda, Stihl, Steger and Echo. Plus Traeger pallet grills to help you enjoy the results. Visit rileys.co.im.
Castle Carpets in Peel. The carpet and vinyl specialists. Every colour and every style to suit your needs. With up to 20% off Abingdon stain-free carpets. Call 842-480.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt. The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
The general election is a week tomorrow. Sarah Hackman is one of four candidates contesting Douglas Central. She's up against Damien Cipolli, Ann Corlett and Chris Thomas. Sarah Hackman's a former mayor of Douglas. She stood unsuccessfully 5 years ago and she says little has changed in the time since.
Looking at my manifesto from last time, hardly anything has actually been addressed. So I feel as though we really do need to get going, stop talking and act.
And you've told Manx Radio your three main priorities were you to be elected to represent Douglas Central in the House of Keys: affordable housing, infrastructure and environmental issues. Let's start with affordable housing. There's been a lot said about this in recent weeks. What is your assessment of the situation as it is at the moment?
Well, at the moment, the houses that are being built are young people or even people really can't afford them because they're coming on the market, and especially since COVID, the house prices have just elevated. So we need to start looking at some sort of schemes in order for those people to be able to afford houses. I'm not saying that, you know, put them all on for too low, but I think we should look at different schemes to be able to let our youngsters and, you know, young adults be able to afford their own houses.
And at the moment, you don't think that's there. Would you advocate for more social housing as well?
Yes, with the social housing, but I also feel that we should address social housing slightly differently. I think I don't know the percentage, but people do go into social housing and stay there for life, whereas we should look at some sort of schemes that would encourage them. So say take a certain amount of rent and then some of that rent go into a pot, a different pot, and then that pot then mounts up to become a deposit for their own house. Same for normal housing, but I think we should look at social housing as well as normal housing to start trying to encourage people to actually save for deposits.
How confident are you that if you were to be successful at this election, you'd be able to go into the House of Keys and you would be able to work with other members to come up with a solution in quite a short space of time, because this is a pressing issue?
Well, I feel is that if everybody agrees, as you say, it's a very hot topic, so you'll have 24 candidates who will be looking at affordable housing. But I think we need to research how exactly we're going to do it with different schemes, because I know the government at the moment is trialling a scheme where they're renting out houses at 20%, I think, lower than the market value for a year, and then using the rest of that as a deposit or putting towards a deposit. But I think that was just like a tick box exercise, because when you start working out the figures, the deposit size that they would save over the year would still be quite low. So I think we need to throw some money into that to try and, or look at different schemes. Because I know in England, there's like buy to rent schemes, where a portion of your house is mortgaged and a portion of your house is rented. I think housing associations do them. And then your rented part goes down and then your mortgage part goes up. But at the end of the day, you will then own a house. So I think we should investigate all different angles of trying to help encourage people buy houses.
For more general election coverage, including candidate profiles, full interviews, videos, manifestos and more, visit the Manx Radio General Election mini site at manxradio.com.
So tonight, if you've got a ticket for Douglas Rugby Club and you don't want to come or you're not coming, make sure you contact Manx Radio, because we only issued a certain number of free tickets. It is ticket only tonight at Douglas Rugby Club, with the candidates vying for the constituency of Middle. Hopefully see you there. We're live on the air 7 o'clock tonight through till 8. Available as a podcast and a video afterwards. A note in from Michael, who just said in Foxdale there are cars parked at the sides of the road. People are too lazy to park at the rear of their properties, so they park them on the main road. It causes queues of vehicles, cars and wagons and buses in Foxdale, and impatient people taking chances with oncoming traffic. It's dangerous, and it means vehicles pumping out pollution being delayed as well. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. Back tomorrow at high noon.